Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of Heart of the Psalmist. This is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I am your host, Sharvis Whitted, and I thank you for stopping by for today's conversation. So today, I'm actually going to play an interview I recorded in 2018. Now, this is actually my older brother recording and interviewing me. He was really pushing me to launch the podcast show, and we were at a Christian writers conference together. And we just decided to get going and do an episode. And we came up with a very good topic, worshiping while wounded. Because let's face it, at some point, if you're a creative, you're going to be wounded in a way that relates to the use of your creativity. And what do you do? How do you make it through that? I think we have some good tips for you today. So here's the conversation. Check it out.
This is Rick, and I'm here with Sharvis Whitted, a man that's on a mission to take the ministry of the Psalms back from the industry, back to the heart of God. Sharvis, it's good to be here with you.
Good to be here again with you as well, Rick.
All right, so I think we want to talk today about worshiping with wounds. You know a little bit of something about that, don't you?
Yes, I do, sir. Yes, I do.
Why don't you tell the listeners, give them a little backdrop on your story and how we can help them today from that story.
I sure can do that, Rick. Well, I've been a music minister and served in different capacities in music ministry since I was the age of 9. I'm actually third generation, and I've served in capacities from a youth choir director, praise and worship leader, a worship pastor, which in some circles is referred to as minister of music, essentially the same thing. I've been a music director before, so I've served in every different capacity, and at the highest capacity that I served in, which would be the worship pastor, did deal with a lot of wounds. Some wounds were unintentional, some were intentional, but I did learn how to navigate through those wounds, and I want to share that wisdom with musicians and worship pastors, anyone who serves in that capacity today.
Yeah, so it seems like just listening to that there is the inevitability that you will be wounded in the middle and in the midst of serving in your calling.
You sure will. I think there are two reasons for that, Rick. Number one, because you're serving with people.
Yeah.
People are imperfect. We have been given righteousness from Christ freely. We didn't earn it, and He's working on us to make us right, to walk out that righteousness. The second reason, Rick, is God is always in the business of developing us. Mm. And the wilderness is the best time to be developed. And often you will find yourself in a wilderness and you won't even know it until you are wounded.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's almost like talking about close combat. We always say this, right, in the church circles that we're in a battle, which sounds great till we're in a battle.
That's right. That's right.
So at the top of this, you're going to be wounded. You're wounded because God, first of all, deals with us in grace. We're all human, very infallible, fallible. And then as well, He uses the friction of the fallibleness of humans to, although it creates wounds, He uses it for growth. Am I about right?
That is correct. And really what God is always trying to do, God builds us differently. God builds us, let me first say, the world looks at growth from an external perspective. Mm-hmm. God doesn't build that way. God builds from the inside out. Even when you are saved and you first hear the gospel, you're convicted in your heart. And then God changes you there, and then that begins to bear what the Bible calls fruit of righteousness or fruit of the Spirit. So any work that God's going to do in you, it has to get all the way down to the heart, which is why a lot of times friction, as you mentioned, is so effective, because it gets to those deep places that God needs to go and do surgery.
That's amazing insight, because we clearly get it when God does a heart thing on us and changes us from the inside out, and we morph into something greater than we were, more beautiful than we were. But what you're saying is also on the negative stuff, the bad stuff, the pain, the hurt, when someone has just ripped your heart out, those also happen on the inside for the same purpose.
Yes, sir.
Right? We usually think about the good and how we become beautiful from it. But even the deadly pain, the almost death-like pain of a wound from someone that you are very close to or that you've come to trust, also does the same purpose. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. It certainly does, Rick.
So I know there's a scripture that you're bringing us from on here, and I just want to read it for your listeners. It is Acts chapter 16, very familiar scene, verse 25 through 28. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourselves. We are all here." So why did you have us come from that scripture?
Well, why that really resonates with the topic we're addressing today is you see a man who was called by God. And the first thing to point out with that context is that he didn't do anything to bring the wound on himself. Many of you today may find yourself dealing with something very difficult in church that you don't feel you did anything to warn. And that often is absolutely the case. Paul was actually just doing the work of God. If you read the text carefully, Paul actually was going somewhere else and God gave him a vision and told him to go there. Just like many of you feel, I'm at this church because I feel like God wanted me to be here. So that's really the first point of dealing with the wound correctly. If it's somewhere God wants you to be, then quite often the wound is part of why he wants you there. Isn't that interesting? God leads you to a wound.
It is. But my first reaction is to get out of there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, I heard Ravi Zacharias, I listened to him often. He said something I really enjoyed and it really registered with me. The quickest route is not always the best route in terms of your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. Sometimes God will take you the longer route as he did with Israel because there's something you need to experience. And often that is something wrong and painful that you don't bring in yourself, but it tunnels down, it peels back the layers, it gets to your heart so that God can write something new on the tablets of your heart. That can be manifested in the place that you're going. You can't take an old heart into a new place. You just can't do it.
So when God calls us, we're excited.
Yes, we are.
When we get to the place of calling and wounds happen, and now that place that you're called for, like Paul, actually feels like a prison.
It sure does.
What do we do?
Well, I think that you have to respond to that with purpose in mind. The initial response would be one that is rooted in your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how I'm feeling, so I want to abandon this place. It could be a response in entitlement, which could be something that God is trying to expose.
Mm-hmm.
I serve faithfully. I'm here all the time. Why is this happening to me? And then it begins to tunnel down into value and many things. So you have to respond to purpose. God, you have me here for a reason. So where is your hand in this?
Well, it seems like some of the misconception then is the fact that people often believe that if God is in it, it is always all positive.
Yeah, that is a common misconception. But if you read the scripture, Rick, there is no person that God ever used. You can go to Moses, Gideon, Paul, Joseph. All of them found themselves in a place that seemed to be a prison that they didn't deserve.
So maybe one of the first misconceptions that we've got to move away from when dealing with the wound is it wasn't unique, right? It wasn't a singular event in history.
Correct.
To hear Paul talking about thorns in his side.
That's right.
That he prayed about earnestly 3 times.
Yeah.
And finally had to just let it go because God says, the thorn is there of my doing.
Exactly.
It's my allowing the thorns to be there. And so maybe that's one of the first misconceptions we have. And what makes us want to run, Sharvis, is when we're dealing with a wound, we think this has to be of the devil.
Correct. We do. We do. which can slow down the work that God is trying to do in you.
How so? How would that manifest itself?
Well, you mean the slowing down process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you are, instead of trying to find God's hand in it, the phrase I try to use is, try to find God's hand in what is happening. Try to find God's hand in what is happening versus zeroing in on what human hands are doing.
Gotcha.
I think we focus on the wrong hand.
And how can we do that? Is this an issue where people come alongside us? Is this about prayer? Is this about reading more? I mean, how practically does that happen? You've been through this.
I sure have.
Multiple times.
It's all three. Number one, you need to have, I always say you need a Nathan in your life. Mm-hmm. David had a Nathan. If you look at all the great people in the Bible that God used, they tended to have someone in their life who was a mentor, who could help them see the hand of God in every moment in their life. I think that's one thing. Who do you have around you? Mm-hmm. Surround yourself with people who've been through wildernesses. It can help you maintain the right perspective. Secondly, you do actually need to stay in the Word of God, because if you look at people who've been through the path you're going down, ask yourself a question. Was it always easy for them?
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever go through wilderness? And again, if you look at Moses, you look at Joseph, you look at Paul, even Christ himself, before his ministry was inaugurated, guess what? He went through a wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and the Holy Spirit led him there.
Good, good. So your first point here is when the wound comes, resist running.
Correct.
And we see that, right, in this scripture where Paul has to shout out because the jailer wakes up. He sees the doors open.
That's right.
And he is he knows that means a death sentence for him. He's about to kill himself. And Paul shouts out, "We're here." So he's called to a prison, but he doesn't run.
That's right.
So his calling led him to a prison-like experience. In this case, literally a prison.
Literally.
And he doesn't run.
That's right. And I'll say this, Rick, too. Remember, audience, that what are you going to lose if you leave it too soon versus what you could gain if you endured?
Yeah. And wow, I mean, what a great point. We better keep moving or we'll lose all of our time. I know we're coming close to the end. So what do you get? What's the result of going through, or said another way, growing through the wounds of a place you've been called to? What are some of the results of that?
Well, I think there are two categories you can place the results in. There is the personal benefit of it, and then there's also the benefit that you can give to others.
Mm.
When I look at my wounds, Rick, and the things that I experienced serving in ministry, it, number one, gave me a greater sense of compassion for others. Second thing it did, it allowed me to give greater grace to others.
Mm.
It also made me a better servant, made me more humble, more broken before God. It just grew me out of myself and grew me more into Christ.
Did you know it when you were going through it?
I did not. I did not understand what God was doing until I was out of it.
Hmm. Did you stay?
I stayed. I didn't run. Was it difficult at times? Sure.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
When did you, I could hear a listener going, okay, Sharvis, I hear you, but when did you know it was time to go? Because you're not still there today.
No, I'm not there anymore.
Okay.
I knew it was time to go. Number one, if you're ever serving anywhere, you don't leave gaps.
Hmm.
You don't leave gaps. Paul didn't leave gaps. Moses left with Joshua. Yeah.
Paul Christ, Timothy.
Exactly. So there's another example of knowing the scripture. So number one, I wasn't going to leave that, because ultimately when you serve in ministry, there is a pastor there. There are other people there. But ultimately, your responsibility is to God.
Right.
It's to him. So I wasn't going to leave that post unmanned until I knew it was time. So that was one indicator to me that post was going to be filled. Number two, the timing just was right. Some things lined up correctly, things that I didn't force. I wasn't making those things happen. And I just knew it was time. Number one, again, make sure that your post isn't empty. Number two, just make sure that you know it's time. Even if you need to speak to a mentor, just know it's time for you to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we see Paul, who's called to a place where wounds were inevitable, were created. And many of our listeners might be serving in worship capacities now, and they're worshiping through wounds. It's so interesting that the scripture tells us that the other folks in that prison were listening.
That's right.
So it's midnight. They're praising in a bad situation, bloody, beaten, and others were listening. So what's the result when we go through this? We see here that the jailer, he was prevented from killing himself because Paul didn't leave. So what was the result of that? And then what's the result for our listeners when we learn to worship through and with wounds?
Well, Rick, I can tell you that since I've been gone, I can't tell you how many people, I didn't even know were watching me. I actually remember one young lady, the last day at the church, I knew her, but I didn't talk to her frequently. She came up to me and she hugged me and she just started crying. And I talked to her after I left. She just said, just looking at your life, how faithful you were and how you endured, it inspired me and so many other people you weren't even aware of.
Right.
So you can relate that back to what happened with Paul. Not only did he keep the jailer from committing suicide, and that can be symbolic to other deaths that people are going through emotionally, because some people are looking to you for the grace they need to give to other people. They see you as a point of strength. So that jailer not only became saved, but also went back and gave that salvation to his own household.
Right.
So again, there's a personal effect that it has on you, but then it also has a personal effect not only while you're going through it yourself, but also when you get out of it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like this is just a natural, difficult discussion. We could talk about it all day. And I know your listeners, many of them can resonate with them. There's probably no bigger of an epidemic in the church than hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Church hurt, church wounds. And as we see here from Acts 16, 25 through 28, Paul worshiped with wounds. And what was so amazing about that, as we discussed at the top of the show before we started, is that before those wounds were washed, they were bloodied, beaten, bruised, and they were praising, they were worshiping in the midnight hour of their prison situation. Many of us have just been offended or hurt.
Right.
And we are not willing to stay. And we might be training those around us to run.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you close your listeners out in prayer?
Lord, we thank you that that you are such a faithful God. And right now we reach out to our listeners, those who serving in ministry, God, and may find themselves in a prison like Paul was, God. They feel like they are being forsaken, not being appreciated, verbally abused. And God, they feel like they want to jump in and run, God. But I pray, God, that you would give them the eye to see your hand and to take their eyes off of what people are doing, God, and to concentrate and seek you on the work that you are trying to work in them, God. And I pray, God, that you would surround them with mentors, wise voices who are ahead of them, who have been through those wildernesses, who can be a voice that allows them to see what you're doing, God, and trust your work, God. And I pray, God, that they would just endure. And in time, when they get out of that place, God, to see the work that you've done in their life, God. I thank you, and I pray that you would give them grace to forgive, grace to love others, God. And we seal it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. A very real topic. We all are going to deal with creative wounds. But if we put our trust in God, he not only can heal us of those wounds, but also make those wounds work for our good and make us more effective in advancing the great commission of Jesus Christ through our creative gift. Well, that's all today for the episode. Again, I hope you were blessed. If you like what you're hearing, please share it on your social media platform. Also, go on to iTunes and leave us a rating and comment on the show. I want to hear what you think about what we're doing at Heart of the Psalmist. Until next time, God bless you. Keep your heart towards God, and we will talk to you soon. God bless you.